Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I'm your host for today, Ursula Rudenberg, together with my co-host, Kay Puttock. Hello, Kay. And our intern, Varad Duarte, is in the studio with us as well. Hello, Varad.
Hi.
Kay, your daisies in the flower box in front of KHOI are filling out, and they are looking very nice. I think they've benefited from all the rain we've had.
Yeah, hello, Ursula. I'm glad you like the daisies. Actually, someone stopped in yesterday to ask me about them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're admiring them. And asked me what they were, and I couldn't tell her. And it looks like we've not seen the last of the rain. According to the predictions, it looks like rain and the thunderstorms are predicted for quite some time, at least through the weekend and the beginning of next week. Right now, they aren't forecasting any sunny days until next Thursday. Temperatures will continue in the 70s and low 80s.
Speaking of spring flowers, did you know, Kay, that Ryman Gardens is celebrating its 20th anniversary? They had a birthday party last Saturday with a full day of family activities and celebrations. And there will be celebrations all year with different ways to celebrate their achievements, with especially festive displays and various parties. Right now, they are featuring a display of 8 tree houses that honor aspects of the garden. Varad Duarte, our KHOI summer intern and student at ISU's Greenlee School of Journalism, filed this report about the Ryman Gardens celebration.
Tree houses inspired by a Halloween pumpkin, migratory birds, Arbor Day, and the written word are just some exhibits visitors can see at Ryman Gardens until October.
Sarah Remery, I'm the manager of horticulture at Ryman Gardens. We have a treehouse exhibit right now, so there are 8 treehouses around the grounds of Ryman Gardens. They're just a fun place for kids to come and play and also connect back with nature.
These special exhibits are on display as part of the garden's 20th anniversary celebrations.
All the treehouses somehow connect back to some kind of celebration. Smallest being about a 4x4 space all the way to the giant pumpkin, which is probably, you know, at least 15 feet tall. One of the treehouses on our hillside garden is actually in a stand of sumac, and it's kind of woven into the stand of sumac. Then that space celebrates International Migratory Bird Day. We have another treehouse, a little A-frame cabin that celebrates Arbor Day, which is also a treehouse that was kind of inspired by the tiny house movement. So, yeah, there are 6 different artists, lots of different styles, some, you know, very abstract, like the International Migratory Bird Day kind of nest, or the metaphotonic pod that's about kind of rebirth and metamorphosis, all the way to very literal, the giant pumpkin. I mean, you can't miss that one's for Halloween. That's just what it is. It's a giant pumpkin. Yeah.
The 20th anniversary was marked by an event last Friday at the garden. Other festive displays include colorful tulips, tall grass prairies, an herb garden, home vegetable garden, among others. The origins of Ryman Gardens lie in the Horticulture Department garden, located on campus for a long time. In the 1990s, university administrators were already looking at building a full-fledged garden. In a meeting with then-university president Martin Jishke, Ryman once mentioned how the bare land south of the stadium could be made to look better. This offhand comment started the plan for Ryman Gardens as a beautiful entry point to the stadium and campus. Located on the south side of the Jack Trice Stadium, Ryman Gardens is spread over 17 acres. The garden aims to educate the public about plants and butterflies. It is also an effort to provide a welcoming entry point for students and visitors to Iowa State University. The garden was dedicated to the public in 1995. The garden is named after Roy Ryman, the largest contributor to the project. Welcome back. We are learning about Ryman Gardens on eve of its 20th anniversary. The Christine Ryman Butterfly Wing is one of the few public parks with a permanent butterfly exhibit. It became a part of the garden in 2002. It currently has more than 800 butterflies from all over the world. It largely sets apart Ryman Gardens. Edward Lyon, director of Ryman Gardens.
Many people, I don't think, realize they from the outside it looks like a glass conservatory. But if you stand back and look, you'll see that it's actually shaped. It was built to look like a giant butterfly. And when you walk in, it's a 5,000-square-foot conservatory that has the typical plants that you might think of any conservatory, but there's thousands of butterflies. And we are releasing new butterflies on a weekly basis, so you can come in anytime throughout the year and find butterflies flying. Many of the butterfly exhibits around the countryside are seasonal, and there aren't that many butterfly houses that are set up to be releasing and having butterflies flying throughout the entire year.
We are learning about Ryman Gardens on its 20th anniversary.
My name is Ann Malvin. I live in Nevada, and I'm a Ryman Gardens volunteer.
Just like a lot of other public parks, Ryman Gardens relies on help from its volunteers.
Right now we're planting cleomes. These are annuals, so we'll dig these up at the end of the season. I've been volunteering 2 years now since I retired. I love it. I absolutely love it. We do weeding, planting, pruning. In the wintertime, we can volunteer in the butterfly wing. So there's always something to do. And they always have the tools for us to do it and experts to give us guidance. Mm-hmm. So it's just a nice place to volunteer.
Volunteers are critical to almost every public garden just to get the work accomplished on a day-to-day basis.
Edward Lyon, director of Ryman Gardens.
I think the current estimates right now on a national basis is a volunteer's hour worth of labor is $23. So you can imagine public gardens that are always struggling for enough funding to do what we do. It's a tremendous financial contribution that volunteers are making. And this goes beyond just volunteers who help outdoors in the gardens. There are many other functions in a public garden, from administrative to events to education. So volunteers are the lifeblood of our garden, like they are many others. We have student volunteers in addition to paid student interns and paid student hourly. We also have master gardeners, mostly from the community, but from outlying communities as well. Our strong volunteers, community members, sometimes we even have youth from the area. We do reach outside of the community. We're not restricted to the community specifically, although that's where most of the volunteers do come from.
My name's Steve Freeborn. I live in Ankeny, and I'm a volunteer here at Ryman Gardens. We used to come here, you know, as visitors, as guests, and have always really enjoyed the gardens. It's a nice place to come. It's a nice place to bring our grandkids. And at the time I was retiring, I noticed a sign talking about volunteer opportunities, so I signed up. And that's pretty much what I do here. Mainly planting outside, weeding, and then in the winter, we get involved with cleaning the flower pots and working a little bit in the greenhouse. I very much enjoy coming here.
Welcome back to our special segment on Ryman Gardens. The garden is celebrating its 20th anniversary, and we are learning more about the ongoing exhibits, the garden's history, as well as some attractions. As for its future, Ryman Gardens is working on a master plan for the next 20 years. Components of the plan include a proposed visitor center, expanding office space, and increasing recognition of the garden beyond the local community.
The group that is doing our master plan, this is a group that does master planning nationally for different organizations around the countryside. We've pretty much decided what those gardens will look like. Some gardens will remain the same with improvements. Other gardens will change considerably with entirely different, new and different looks and themes. What we're waiting on now is they're going to take all of our ideas and present us with the visuals that we can present everybody with, the final cost estimates of what it will cost us to build these gardens over the next 20 years.
Part of the plan includes making the gardens less reliant on external sources of funding. Funding sources for Ryman Gardens include the university, donations, and revenue raised by the garden itself. This is Varad Devte for KHOI Community Radio.
Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in central Iowa. I'm your host for today, Kay Patuk, with Ursula Rudenberg co-hosting. And we were just listening to a report filed by KHOI's intern, Varad Devte, in honor of the 20th anniversary of Ryman Gardens.
And with us here in the studio this morning, we have Allison Walter from the Members and Visitors Service at the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau. Thanks for joining us today, Allison.
Thank you.
I think the Convention and Visitors Bureau helped sponsor the recent anniversary celebrations at Ryman Gardens.
Yes, actually, they received an Ames Community Grant for the celebration. Yeah.
So what other events can we expect in June?
June is a busy month. Actually, the whole summer is busy. One of the things that's happening, it's a kind of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. This Saturday, the Flame of Hope, which is part of Special Olympics, and their World Games will be coming through Ames. And you might remember that in 2006, Ames hosted the first ever Special Olympics National Games. And then every year we host the State Games as well. So Special Olympics has sort of a special place in our hearts here in Ames.
Absolutely.
And this, the 2015 World Games will be held in Los Angeles. And it's July 25th through August 2nd. And so part of that carrying the torch for the World Games, they're doing a unified relay across America. And they'll be passing through Ames this weekend.
Oh, very nice. So how will that actually look?
Well, they're actually across, they started in Washington, D.C., and there's actually 20,000 participants across the United States, and they're doing a hand-to-hand relay with the torch across all 50 states. So Saturday afternoon, probably around 1, they'll be arriving in Ames. They'll be coming from the south, from the Ankeny area, and they'll run through the community, sort of starting over near Jack Trice Stadium and Ryman Gardens, working their way through the Scan neighborhood and onto Central Campus. They'll be going by the farmhouse, and then they'll work their way over to Banshell Park. And the idea is that they will run into Banshell Park around 5 o'clock. So we're inviting everyone to bring their lawn chairs and their families and come down to Banshell Park. Around 4:30, we'll have a performer, singer-songwriter JC. And she'll start playing around 4:30, and then the torch will arrive around 5, and there'll be some ceremony, of course, and then the party will continue with more music after that.
Sounds very exciting.
Yeah, yeah. And then they'll spend the evening, stay overnight in Ames, and then take off on Sunday morning and head west on their way across Iowa.
Are they literally running across the country?
Really, literally running across the country as a relay. So I think mm-hmm. they've got teams in each state running mm-hmm. and doing a hand-to-hand wow. handoff of the torch.
Wow, very exciting.
Yeah.
What happens to the torch at night? Is it put out and started again the next morning?
You know what? I don't know the answer to that question. That's a good one.
As a special torch stand.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so we have a lot of events that happen regularly every summer that are
yes.
kind of make our summer sparkle. Tell us some of the things that just are part of summer here.
Sure. Well, one thing that comes to mind to me, first off, is the Banshell Park and all the wonderful things like this event on Saturday. But also every Fridays in June, you have the Ames on the Half Shell with the Ames JCs. And tonight they'll have Abby Normal. Next Friday they'll have Jason Brown. And they'll finish off their summer series on the 26th with the Standing Hamptons. And that's always a fun event. On Thursday evenings are the municipal band concerts. And then also the bookends at the Bandshell will be occurring with events on Fridays and Sundays this summer. And a new one that's coming in July is a Puppets and Stories performance. A new gentleman to the area, Reed Miller, and he will be doing stories with his puppets on Monday evenings at the Bandshell. So It's amazing all the things that are happening at the Bandshell on a regular basis.
And what time does the events usually start at the Bandshell?
5 o'clock for the Ames on the Half Shell, 7 o'clock for Municipal Band, and the Stories and Puppets are 7 o'clock on Monday evenings in July.
And these are definitely family events.
Yes, yes.
And we have concerts at the wineries, too.
Yes, both Snooze Hill Winery and Prairie Moon Winery are doing concert series all summer long. They have started. Prairie Moon does a Sunday afternoon concert, and they call it Music at the Crib, and they'll have a different performer each weekend. This weekend is Larry Meyer. And they have brick oven pizzas and wines and things, and that's always fun. And then Snooze Hill does both Friday evenings and Sunday afternoons. And tonight they have the Vinyl Vagabonds performing. So you can get on their website or our websites and find out who's performing each weekend, which is kind of fun.
And these are family events as well, even though they're at the wineries.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And they have food and beverages to enjoy.
And then we have the farmers market.
Yes, yep. There's the Main Street Farmers Market on Saturday morning, and they have lots more than just the vendors, lots of entertainment and kids' activities and things. And they also are doing some cooking demonstrations. And then the North Grand Farmers Market is both Wednesday evening from 3 to 6, as well as Saturday mornings from 8 to noon.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then we have a children's events at the library.
Yes, they have a real fun series this summer. It's based on heroes, and so they're doing things like movie matinees and story times, all based around childhood heroes. I heard Jerry Hyde talking about firemen and policemen and having them actually come to the story times. This afternoon, they're doing a movie matinee with Spy Kids. So lots of fun kids' activities with their summer series.
What does that mean, Spy Kids?
It's a movie, a Disney movie.
Oh, a Disney movie.
Yep,
okay.
Spy Kids. So kids that are your 007, kind of.
And the heroes, that sounds nice. That they're having people that actually do...
Your community heroes, yes.
Uh-huh. And they are coming and they're talking
to the kids
children.
and tying them into stories. Yes.
Uh-huh. Very nice. Okay, so what else do we have that's like, we have the theaters. What's happening with the theaters?
Yes, the Actors Theater Group is doing Shrek, and they're opening tonight with Shrek the Musical. They have performances on Friday and Saturday evenings and Sunday matinee at 2. And then for the next 2 weeks, they'll also have a Thursday evening performance. And they're doing that as a special family performance, and so kids get a discounted admission for those.
So that's really a children's
performance
for children.
Yes, definitely. But a little adult humor mixed in, so it'll be a fun show. And then the Children's Theater Story Theater Company will be doing Mulan Jr. here in a couple of weeks. They'll be opening with that. They call it Story Theater Company, but it's Story County Children's Theater.
Oh, okay.
And they perform at the Ames City Auditorium.
Oh, okay.
And it's all... I think you have to be in high school or younger to be in the performances. So they do some really fun performances that's all local children as the characters.
Great. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so what else do we have?
A fun series that the Ames Choral Society will be doing, starting with a concert on Sunday. They're calling it Get America Singing Again. And they've actually bought 300 copies of music books with the words to some great American songs. And so they'll perform and they'll hand out the books with the audience, and then you'll get to sing along to some of these iconic American songs. So they received an Ames Community Grant to go out and purchase the books, and they'll use them over and over again in concerts from on into the future. So they're doing the concert this Sunday, and that is, that's at the Ames Public Library. And then on July 2nd, they'll be performing with the Ames Municipal Band at the Bandshell. with their Thursday evening concert. And so they'll be the pre-performance group at 7 and be doing the singing with the audience, with the songbooks. And then they'll also perform with the band, with the municipal band, mm-hmm. for their regular 8 o'clock concert.
Do you know what kind of songs
are in the songbooks? I think they're things that, you know, those songs that we all kind of know the words to, but don't. But a
Kumbaya.
Lot, yeah. You know, some of the patriotic songs and some folk songs. So I think it'll be a really nice way mm-hmm. to get people involved with a concert.
Okay, it's like audience participation.
Yes, right, yeah. Right.
I think you mentioned the Ames History Center.
Oh, this is their 35th anniversary this year. And so this Sunday, they're doing an ice cream social starting at noon, and they'll have the History Center open and be serving ice cream. And then a little later this summer, they've got another event tied to that, and then they're going to have a big anniversary bash kind of culminating the year. I think that's in November. So it's a big anniversary year between Ryman oh. Gardens 20 years. And the History Center's 35.
That's incredible, 35 years.
Yeah.
And where is the social going to be, the ice cream social?
I think it's going to be right out here in front of the station, in front of the History Center. Yeah.
So that's on Douglas Avenue.
On Douglas Avenue here.
Okay.
Yep.
Excellent. Okay. And so during the summer, there's also a lot of conventions in Ames.
Yes. Ames is not quiet in the summer. You know.
Tell us just a little bit what happens.
Sure. Well, we bring in a lot of different educational conventions, a lot of athletic events. This week, we actually have Future Problem Solvers. Future Problem Solving Program International is having their international competition. This and it is at the Iowa State Center and on campus this week. So there's about 3,000 people with that program here in Ames in the community, and they're staying in the hotels and the residence halls, and they're doing their competitions. It's a creative problem-solving program. But we also get a lot of things like softball tournaments and soccer tournaments. We've got the girls 12 and under and 10 and under fast pitch state tournament happening this weekend. We've got the Coles American Cup soccer tournament for youth this weekend.
So there's a lot of sports events.
A lot of sports
happening.
Events. Mm-hmm. The whole month of July, we will have Iowa Games events taking place across the community. So it's a great way to use the facilities that we have here in Ames. We also are going to have the Dodge Brothers Club and their national convention, and that'll be starting on Sunday. They'll be coming into town. And
what is the Dodge Brothers Club?
Dodge Cars.
Dodge Cars.
So it's a collector's group that all collect Dodge cars. And actually, Dodge is having their 100th anniversary this year. All the people that in this group from across the United States will be coming, and they're actually headquarters out at the Quality Inn out on East 13th Street. So they'll have their cars in the parking lot, and throughout the day they'll have some time where, you know, the public can come, and the owners will be there and love to talk about their cars and what they've done to restore them. And there'll be new cars too as well, mm-hmm. not just old cars. And then each day they're going, driving, you know, around central Iowa. Actually on Tuesday they'll be at Ryman Gardens, so they'll be have an opportunity to enjoy Ryman Gardens, but the public will also have an opportunity to come out and see the cars at Ryman Gardens.
So there'll be some vintage cars
there. Yes, mm-hmm. yes, definitely.
And there's also a bike ride, a Harley bike ride.
There's a Harley bike night here uh-huh. on Main Street.
And when is that?
That is on June 19th, so that would be next Friday night. And they'll be inviting anyone in central Iowa that owns a Harley to come on down and join in the fun. I think they're going to have some food vendors and some things going on, and they're actually closing off a section of Main Street. And that also is just really open to the public. Anyone with a Harley bike there just want to get together, and you can talk about your bikes and check out other people's bikes. Or if you don't have a bike and you want to see what they're all about, come on down and talk to the owners. And it's a great way to learn and mm-hmm. see. So.
Well, so if you had any doubt that there would be anything to do in June, I think Allison is doing a good job of... She sent me a calendar last night, which was 42 pages long.
Well, we do have lots of things. And the great place to go is our website, visitames.com. And we've got an event calendar on our homepage. You'll see the first, half a dozen things, but then you can click on more and you can look on into the rest of the year. We compile that information. As soon as anyone sends it to us, we add it to the calendar. So
again, that is...
It's visitames.com. Yes.
Visitames.com.
Yep.
And really almost each of the things that we spoke about this morning is really many, many events.
Yes.
Because for instance, we didn't even talk about Ryman Gardens.
Right.
They have a lot of workshops. I saw a workshop on making perfumes.
Yep. And floral design and gardening. Mm-hmm. They have an amazing amount of educational opportunities. Yes.
So we have a number of institutions, the library, Ryman Gardens, Farmers Market, Banshell, the wineries, and many other groups that have many, many events.
Right.
Oh, we didn't talk about DG's Tap House. Let's
talk
about that for a
minute. DG's Tap House has a band almost every night. Some nights it's folk, sometimes it's rock and roll. I know they had a poetry reading, I think, last week. So a real variety of things. If you wanted some live music, there's lots of live music in Ames, which is really great.
And that's down at the east end of Main Street.
Right, yeah.
Wow, well, that's a lot of stuff. And what are you planning to do this week, Allison?
Well, I'm...
Go home and get a rest.
Yeah, right. No, we haven't decided yet, but there's always something, and that's the great thing about this community. Uh-huh. And
any other news from the Convention and Visitors Bureau while you're here?
You know, I mentioned a couple of these events that were supported by the Ames Community Grant Program, and we are in the process of just getting everything ready for the next year's grants and getting ready to put the application online. Mm-hmm. So we'll be announcing that here soon, probably mid-July. So anyone that's looking to put on an event next year might think about applying for a Ames Community Grant. So we'll maybe can talk about that again in the future. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is the Independence Holiday. 4th of July is actually on a Friday. I'm sorry, it's on Saturday. So there are things happening Thursday evening, the 2nd, Friday, the 3rd, and the fireworks are actually on Friday the 3rd. And the Ames Community Grant Program funds those fireworks. And then the City of Ames and Iowa State also support that, as well as Young Professionals of Ames do a lot of volunteer work and for that. Mm-hmm. So that is Friday evening, and then Saturday, the 4th of July, of course, is the parade. There's a 5K run up at Ada Hayden. There's pancakes at City Hall. And the farmhouse, University Museums is actually celebrating their 40th anniversary. There's another one. It's a big year. Farmhouse on Central Campus will be open on the 4th of July for an old-fashioned 4th of July celebration. So after the parade, I think there are some groups that are taking their parade display over to Central Campus to celebrate with the farmhouse. And I think they also have a display of old tractors. The Gilbert Tractor Club will have their tractors there on Central Campus. Mm-hmm. So that'll be a big weekend.
Yeah.
Lots going on. And we're trying to pull together a list of all those events
so that we
can have one central location for the community to see everything that's happening.
Okay, well, we'd like you to come back at the end of the month, maybe the 29th.
Sure, yeah.
To talk about the 4th of July, and we'd really appreciate it if you can stop by at the beginning of each month and just give us a sense of where the month is going in terms of fun. And it's really nice having you here.
Thank you.
And telling us all these things that are going on.
Well, we appreciate the opportunity, and just to remember, we couldn't talk about all of them, so check out the website, visitames.com.
Visitames.com.
Yeah.
And this is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. And with the help of the Convention and Visitors Bureau and Allison Walters, we're looking over only some of the community-based events that you and I might want to be part of. And thank you, Allison. And we really appreciate you coming by and look forward to seeing you next month.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Okay.
Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people's stories and events in Central Iowa. I'm your host today, Kay Patuk, with Ursula Rudenberg co-hosting, and we were just listening to Papa Loves Mambo, a little summer music. We've been talking about Ryman Gardens and summer fun during the show, but now let's switch gears a little.
The presidential election season is here, or it's coming, and this is Iowa, after all. So all the declared and undeclared candidates are beginning to show up from all the different parties, and they're coming to Iowa, right? So as Iowans, we have an extraordinary opportunity to meet the candidates, and all eyes are on us as the first people to vet candidates. So even more important than meeting candidates, it's incumbent on us to start asking them questions.
And to help you with that, on Thursday night at the Ames Library, there was a session on how to prepare and ask effective questions. They called it Bird Dog Training Session. The presenters are part of a group called Governing Under the Influence, which is sponsored by the American Friends Service Committee. Their goal is to help citizens raise questions about corporate power controlling public policy. They are nonpartisan, so they work on asking tough questions of all candidates, regardless of their political party.
They refer to their work as bird dogging, as Kay referred earlier. And according to them, bird dogging is the act of following or seeking out a subject of interest, such as a presidential candidate, with persistent attention to get answers to questions or influence the subject.
There were two presenters, Kevin Rutledge and Hector Arroyo, and they both made the session very interactive. They involved the audience in simulations of different kinds of political events at which they might be asking questions. One situation that they acted out was a scenario of asking questions at a candidate town hall meeting. And they also worked on how to get your question answered if a candidate was just shaking hands or leaving an event. And the last scenario was about asking questions on a radio call-in show.
They gave out several handouts with tips on how to plan and ask effective questions at each of these kind of events. Here we'll listen to a segment of their speech last night where they talk through the 12 tips suggested on one of the handouts.
Hopefully you guys aren't too annoyed by the, is this a good question, is this good, is that good? We ask ourselves that all the time and challenge ourselves like, okay, how might this candidate respond? We don't want him to respond this way, so we'll change the question. So here are some, we have listed 12 tips for bird dogs. We'll just go through them. First one, arrive early. It can be good to come early, you know, at least like a half an hour early to be able to find a good seat. And when we're up front, we're able to have a better chance as compared to when you're way back there by the coat rack and you're trying to wave your hand, you know. Second one, have your question ready. What we like to do is have, sometimes I have a note card and just write the question out, and I'll like always like look down and like remember it because I'll forget in my head what I'm about to say. It's good to be prepared. Then to the next one, asking your questions early. We found if we're the first ones to shoot our hand up, we have a much better chance of getting our question asked. The next one, stick your hand out. Say, you know, the candidate was here. Oh, I've got to go. And then there will be a swarm of people, and then, you know, you can go there and shake hands and be able to ask a question that way, too. Working in teams with, like, two or more people, say I go out to ask a candidate a question, but say that I've got Hector with me. That instantly doubles our chances of getting our question asked. So the more people, the better chances you have of getting a question asked. We found it effective to video record it or audio record it, not to attack the candidate by any means, but so that we can remember what they say and so people can understand the context. Mm-hmm. And knowing what the candidate's positions are and being educated on that, on how they may respond. Being calm and reasonable, Hector talked about this. Patient, polite, because if we're the guy that's like, or girl that's standing up and shouting at the person, Does that help our cause, or does it go against our cause? We found it effective to be polite and interactive, conversational, but that doesn't mean that we're passive and that we just let things happen. Like, if a candidate doesn't answer our question, we can just respond right back with another question and being assertive about it. Or taking notes. If a candidate says something, you know, jot some notes if it relates to what you're talking about. That happened with me with Rand Paul. He talked about the Pentagon spending in a previous Time magazine article. He added an amendment to the bill to spend almost $200 billion more dollars on the Pentagon budget in 2 years. It was his first event in Iowa as an official candidate. Any war is not a good war to be involved in. So I was confused. So I was legitimately confused. So I tried to ask him that afterwards. And, yeah, I was kind of blown off because I went to shake hands and I tried to ask him. And then he just went, motioned to his ears like, oh, and then just went like that. Granted, the music was loud, but at the same time, no effort. So being prepared to speak with the media, this is a thing that happens because there's reporters from all over the world. One event I talked to like four or five different sources of media. One was from Sweden, one was from New York, one was from KCCI. And just kind of thinking like to our first little exercise, like maybe what's that one good line, you know, to say that a candidate or that could be picked up in the news. And being the media, how I said it before, recording it, that's been helpful for us. I know that can be like a generational thing too, but that's what we found helpful. Being creative and improvising, like expecting the unexpected, like how do you plan for that? Just being flexible, creative, or be able to change a question a different way, or, oh, there's the exits over here, so maybe I'll go over here because that's where he's going to leave at, and I'll have a better chance asking questions then, and sharing what you've learned. That's what we do, and get our voice and our message out to the world through social media.
This is Local Talk and on KHOI, and we're listening to a training session on bird dogging that happened last night at the Ames Public Library. Bird dogging is how to repair and ask effective questions to political candidates, and we thought this might be a good thing to share with you since this is the season for vetting political candidates. And these are some very useful things to think about when asking a politician a question. Some are common sense, but others you might not think of. Another interesting segment of the conversation last night was when the presenters gave examples of questions they have asked at recent candidate campaign events and the responses they got. So let's just listen to a few of that.
What our program does, like if you had a question for our program, we'd write a bird dog report, we'd blast it out in social media on our website, and then we'd also have a plan to follow up. So if he hadn't answered your question at one event, then at another event of his, we would go to his event and try to follow up with him with that question, try to get a solid answer.
One example of what we've done, back in October, Hillary Clinton was in Cedar Rapids, and I did one of these trainings with some high school students, some Quaker high school students. And took them out the next day. Hillary Clinton was there for Bruce Braley event, so we waited around afterwards. She didn't take questions, and so there's a little barricade, and so they shook hands and asked a question about for-profit prisons and the immigrant detention bed quota, which is of 34,000 immigrants to be detained every single day. It's in the budget. It's in, like, the Department of Homeland Security through the appropriations. Very messed up. A lot of money is being made. Basically asked her what would she do about it, what would she do to change these policies. What her response was, oh, I've never been asked these questions. I've never been asked this question before. I'll look into it. So then, like a month ago, there's a bunch of Dreamers out in Nevada where Hillary Clinton was at, and she was saying exactly the same sorts of things that we are saying about for-profit prisons spending millions of dollars lobbying Congress on harsh immigrant, you know, anti-immigrant laws to lock more people up. Whereas before, no one's asked her something like that. So did we have an influence on that? I think we did. And so this is like what we're trying to do. We're trying to change the conversation and just bring these issues up at a level where everybody in the world knows Clinton, you know, Hillary Clinton. So that's a pretty cool small little victory for us.
And then another example would be Governor O'Malley. He didn't know much about for-profit prisons. Originally, on his first visit to Iowa in Beaverdale, one of our staff members asked him a question about it, and he was like, what? We don't have for-profit prisons in Maryland, and just left it at that. So when he came to Des Moines, we followed up on him, and I asked him a question on for-profit prisons and relationship with detention centers, and he answered my question. He answered it, but like you've mentioned before, kind of vaguely, where he was like, I'm answering it, but at the same time, I'm not. And then Kevin was able to go later after the event into the crowd, shake his hand, and further converse with him about for-profit prisons and the relationship with immigrant detention centers. And, you know, that interaction is important because it reminds the candidate that no matter where they go, there's going to be a question for them that's concise, that's important to the person asking them, and it's going to be direct to their campaign.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people's stories and events in central Iowa. On Thursday night at the Ames Public Library, there was a training session on bird dogging, how to prepare and ask effective questions of politicians. The training was provided by a group called Governing Under the Influence, which is sponsored by the American Friends Service Committee. Their goal is to help citizens raise questions about corporate power controlling public policy. They are currently in Iowa and New Hampshire. They are nonpartisan, so they work on asking tough questions of all candidates, regardless of their political party.
And we wanted to share some of their information with you. They had a relatively small crowd last night at the library, and the information is really very interesting and worth getting out to all of us Iowans as we enter into this political season. And one thing that was clear in their examples and in the simulations that they did with members in the audience was how difficult it is often to get an actual answer to a question from a politician. And I think we heard that also in the recording just then. The tendency is for candidates to respond generally or evasive or to basically have their own, you know, spin about what they want to talk about, or to turn questions around to avoid really responding. But the presenters pointed out that by asking tough questions, at least the public can see that the candidates are being evasive or twisting their information. So in the long run, it does still help to make people more aware. They have a website. The website for Governing Under the Influence is afsc.org/GUI. That's afsc.org/GUI, and we'll be posting a link to the website on our website, khoifm.org.
And the AFSC, of course, stands for American Friends Service Committee, to help you remember that.
That's right, and GUI is Governing Under the Influence.
Yep.
And on their website, they keep up a very up-to-date list of the ever-changing calendar of campaign events that are happening in Iowa with dates, times, and location. So this is a great resource for listeners who want to know where to go and see and ask candidates questions. And we'll be posting a link, as I said, on our website. And many thanks to our Local Talk reporter, Gail Seiler, for recording the speakers. When Gail came back, she brought us a calendar of what's happening the next 3 days in terms of political candidate events. So just a quick rundown. Chris Christie was in Ames yesterday, and Chris Christie is in Cedar Rapids today, and Bernie Sanders is going to be in Des Moines today. He's at the Drake Town Hall meeting, and that's at the Drake University Auditorium, Cheslau Auditorium, and that's at 7 p.m. That's Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders will also be in Marshalltown at the UAW Local 893, and that's also a town hall meeting, and that'll be at 2 p.m. That's tomorrow on the 13th of June. And, yeah, I said that wrong. It's tomorrow. And then Hillary Clinton is going to be in Des Moines on the 14th at 10:30 a.m., and she'll be at the Iowa State Fairgrounds. So that's at 10 a.m. on the 14th at the Iowa State Fairgrounds. That's Hillary Clinton. And Bernie Sanders will be at the Waterloo Center for the Arts on the 14th. And Jim Webb will be at the Panorama Conference Center on June 14th in Panorama and at 1:30. So none of these are directly in the Ames area, although Des Moines is kind of qualifies as that. So that would be Hillary Clinton. But there is there are more politicians coming soon to closer to Ames and the surrounding area. So check their website. Well, we'll put a link on them. We'll put a link on our website. I think that's easier for people to find. And so this is the season. It's all beginning to happen.
And before we close out with Belinda Merritt's live music calendar for the weekend, we should mention one other opportunity for you to have a voice in the democratic process.
Story County is looking for input into their C2C plan. That's from cornerstone to capstone plan. The C2C plan is a coordinated long-range plan that is intended to be physical and policy-based, a blueprint for how we grow and develop over the coming 20 years, identifying vision and goals and quality of life aspects. It will incorporate the following areas: housing, economic development, transportation service, community facilities and infrastructure, environment and natural resources, land use, existing and future, fringe area planning, and intergovernmental cooperation. You can take the survey at c2cplan.com, and that's c2cplan.com.
And there will be community input meetings to speak in person at four locations on June 18th in Huxley at the Huxley Safe Room, which is 515 North Main Avenue. On June 23rd in Colo at the Colo Community Center, 309 Main Street in Colo. June 25th, the Ames Public Library, that's 515 Douglas Avenue. And June 30th at the Barbara Bartlett Library in Story City at 503 Broad Street. And all the meetings will be held from 6 to 7 p.m. And, of course, we'll provide links to this information on our website, KHOIFM, so you can look that up if you're interested and didn't have time to write anything down. And so, yes, we will be providing that link. So that is our citizen participation segment for the show, Kay. Never take democracy for granted. So let's close out the show, and then we'll listen to Belinda's music calendar. So you can listen to this show again at noon and 7 p.m. today, and all of our past local talk shows are online at khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org, and you'll see listings of all the guests and resource contacts that we mentioned today. You've been listening to Local Talk. And today we talked about Ryman Gardens and 20th anniversary, and we got an update from Allison Walters from the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau about public events and lots of fun for June. And finally, we got information about how to ask political candidates the hard questions, bird dogging. That's our job as Iowans.
Music you heard was Papa Loves Mambo, and as always, our theme song, just coming on now, is Backtracking by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Local Talk was engineered by Rebecca Reuter. And special thanks to KHOI reporter Virad Diwati and Gail Seiler for your reports. Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a radio show. If you would like to join our team as a reporter, contact us at 292-2878. That's 292-2878. Or contact us through our website, khoifm.org.
Your participation as audience is what makes KHOI possible and meaningful. If you don't listen, the show just did not happen. Thank you for listening, and see you again on the radio. And now let's go out with Belinda Merritt's calendar of live music events for the weekend and early next week. Thank you, Belinda.
Hello, this is Belinda Merritt, and I have the live music for June 12th through the 18th. On Friday, June 12th, Abby Normal will be at Ames on the Half Shell, held at Durham Bandshell Park, 6th Street and Duff Avenue, from 5 until 8 o'clock p.m. The Vinyl Vagabonds will be at Snooze Hill Winery, 2183 320th Street, Madrid, from 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. 100 Mondays will be at The Bar, 823 Wheeler Street. Transidiomatic Feet and Electric Jury will be at DG's Tap House, 125 Main Street. Brian Congdon will be at Westtown Pub, 4518 Mortensen Road. The Burnin' Sensations will be at Mickey's Irish Pub, 206 3rd Street in Des Moines. On Saturday, June 13th, Ryan Sheeler, solo acoustic, will be at Bergie's Coffee and Tea Company, 110 Airport Road, from 6:30 until 8:30 p.m. Soul and Blues Night with Tina Haas Findlay will be at Blue Stem, which was formerly known as Zeke's, at 3329 Lincoln Way from 8 until 10 o'clock p.m. All ages are welcome, and tickets are available at eventbrite.com. Danger Ron and the Spins and The Soul Low will be at DG's Tap House, 125 Main Street. Sunday, June 14th, The Soul Searchers will be at Snooze Hill Winery, 2183 320th Street, Madrid, from 2 until 5 o'clock p.m. Larry Meyer will be at Prairie Moon Winery, 3801 West 190th Street, from 3 until 6 o'clock p.m. David Zollo and the Body Electric will be at Roosevelt School Summer Sundays, 912 9th Street, from 7 until 8:30 p.m. On Tuesday, June 16th, Adam Fawcett will be at DG's Tap House, 125 Main Street. On Wednesday, June 17th, Bottle of Jack will be at Bike Night at the Tip Top, 201 East Lincoln Way. Then on Thursday, June 18th, Red Moon Harvest and Mastiff will be at DG's Tap House, 125 Main Street. That's all I have for this week. Thank you.